Imagine being told that kindness and empathy, virtues we celebrate from childhood, might actually make us worse people. This is the provocative argument at the heart of Paul Bloom's Against Empathy. When Bloom tells people about his book, they laugh as if he said something absurd. Yet his thesis has sparked serious debate among psychologists, philosophers, and policymakers. Why? Because he challenges our fundamental assumptions about what makes us good. Bloom isn't against compassion or kindness. He's specifically targeting emotional empathy, the act of feeling others' pain as your own. This distinction is crucial. When a doctor treats a terrified patient, cognitive empathy, understanding their fears, helps. But emotional empathy, feeling their terror, could impair clinical judgment. The problem isn't caring about others, it's how we care that matters. Empathy functions like a spotlight, intensely illuminating specific individuals while leaving everything else in darkness. This narrow focus creates moral blind spots in our complex world. Governments mobilize resources for a single child trapped in a well while ignoring systemic problems affecting millions. After Sandy Hook, the affluent community received millions of dollars in warehouses of teddy bears, creating the irony of poorer communities sending money to richer ones through empathetic concern. The Willie Horton case illustrates empathy's statistical blindness. A prison furlough program that released Horton, who later committed violent crimes, actually reduced overall recidivism rates, making society safer. Yet, we empathize with Horton's victims while remaining unmoved by the statistical lives saved. Some argue we simply need more empathy to feel for everyone equally. But this is psychologically impossible. We can intellectually value all lives equally, but cannot simultaneously empathize with billions. Our empathetic capacity is inherently limited and biased toward those who resemble us, share our background, or are physically present. The research linking empathy to moral behavior is surprisingly weak. When scientists attempt to predict helpful or altruistic actions from empathy scores, the correlations are modest at best. Even more surprising is how little empathy relates to aggression. A comprehensive meta-analysis titled The Non-Relation Between Empathy and Aggression examined hundreds of studies and found that only about 1% of variation in aggressive behavior could be explained by lack of empathy. This makes empathy one of the least reliable predictors of harmful conduct, far behind factors like impulse control and anger management. The measurement problems compound these issues. Most empathy scales conflate emotional resonance with unrelated traits like social skills, conversation ability, and even remaining calm in emergencies. The widely used Baron-Cohen empathy quotient illustrates this problem. While purporting to measure empathy, it includes numerous questions about general social functioning. This conflation makes it difficult to isolate empathy's specific effects. Even when accounting for these methodological issues that should artificially inflate empathy's importance, the relationship between feeling others' emotions and acting morally remains surprisingly tenuous. When challenging empathy, Bloom faces accusations about his political agenda. Many associate empathy with progressive values, and research shows self-defined liberals scoring somewhat higher on empathy measures than conservatives. This partly explains why women, who tend to score higher on empathy scales, are statistically more likely to be liberal. However, this connection is weaker than commonly believed. Some prominent liberal politicians, like Obama and Clinton, present themselves as rational technocrats rather than empathic figures, while conservatives like Reagan excelled at projecting emotional connection. More importantly, both sides deploy empathy selectively. On gun control, liberals highlight shooting victims, while conservatives emphasize defenseless homeowners. On immigration, liberals share stories of separated families, while conservatives focus on crimes committed by illegal immigrants. There is no party of empathy. Both sides simply direct empathy toward different groups. The cost of empathy-driven politics is enormous. It explains why societies can be transfixed by a girl stuck in a well while remaining indifferent to climate change threatening millions. This scope insensitivity leads to irrational policy responses, like enacting harsh drug laws after a few tragic overdoses or launching devastating wars following terrorist attacks that ultimately create far more suffering than they prevent. In intimate relationships, empathy's spotlight nature might actually be beneficial. We want our partners to care about us specifically, not just as one of the multitude. Empathy may have evolved precisely to facilitate one-on-one relationships between parents and children or between romantic partners. But even here, extreme empathy can become problematic. Consider Hannah, a psychotherapist with an unstoppable drive to empathize, who immediately tunes into others' emotional states. This hyperarousal represents what psychologists call unmitigated communion, excessive concern with others that places their needs before one's own. Those high in this trait often have asymmetrical relationships, providing care but uncomfortable receiving it, and suffer from intrusive thoughts about others' problems. They're more likely to experience depression, anxiety, and burnout. The key difference is that healthy communion represents concern and compassion, while unmitigated communion relates more to empathic distress, suffering at other suffering without the emotional regulation needed for effective care. Despite empathy being named an essential learning objective by medical associations worldwide, its literal application can be harmful for healthcare providers. Surgeon Christine Montross explains that truly empathizing with patients would be incapacitating. Imagining her own child in place of a grieving mother's would render her unable to provide care. Studies show nursing students prone to deep empathy spend less time with patients and experience higher rates of burnout. For therapists dealing constantly with emotional pain, empathic responses would make their work impossible. What patients actually value is cognitive empathy, being understood, and compassion, not emotional mirroring. They benefit most from doctors who remain calm when they're anxious and confident when they're uncertain. As one patient eloquently put it, "I wanted to look at him and see the opposite of my fear, not its echo." Medical educators increasingly focus on teaching balanced empathy, combining understanding and compassion with appropriate professional boundaries and emotional regulation. This approach allows healthcare providers to care effectively while protecting their own well-being. Contrary to popular belief, empathy isn't the only path to moral behavior. The effective altruism movement exemplifies a balanced approach, combining emotional motivation with rational assessment to maximize positive impact. Many extraordinary acts of kindness, from donating kidneys to strangers to dedicating careers to helping others, stem not from empathic distress, but from principled compassion and reasoned moral commitments. Our capacity for rational deliberation remains our greatest moral asset. While influenced by gut feelings, we're not slaves to them. The expansion of our moral circle throughout history reflects not increased empathy, but rational recognition of others' equal value. As Steven Pinker notes, what really has expanded is not so much a circle of empathy as a circle of rights. Bloom doesn't argue for eliminating empathy entirely, but for treating it like anger, a natural emotion to be moderated by intelligence, concern for others, and self-control. Both should serve as reliable and useful servants, but never masters. By balancing emotional responses with rational compassion, we can create a more just and caring world than empathy alone could achieve.